That's an exclusive. That's the first we've
Wow.
spoken of that. But
That
yeah,
sounds awesome.
we're hoping to, well, should we say it?
Go on.
Welcome back to the Run of Play podcast. A double guest episode again this week for episode 16, and we're sticking with a family theme. Alongside Elliot, Liam, and myself, Cameron, we have the founders of Art of Football, Luke and Gabriel Cuthbert. We'll be talking all about the massive success of Art of Football, Pickles the Bear, and starting a business with your brother. We hope you enjoy the episode.
So, at the risk of repeating ourselves, we've hit the jackpot this week. We had two Colemans last time we were on, and this time we've got two Cuthberts. Welcome to Run a Play, guys. We're so pleased to get you on the show. We're avid fans of your work and big spenders on your website as well, which is very hard not to be. We're really excited to chat to you about your journey with Art of Football, what your hopes are for the future. But to start off with, thought it'd be good for you two just to introduce yourself and introduce Art of Football and what you do for those who might not know.
You want to take this one, Luke? Or?
You can take the introduction of Art of Football.
Okay. So we are two brothers from Nottingham, and we run a brand, it's a sort of a football lifestyle brand called Art of Football. So what this basically is we use creativity and artwork to sort of try and represent all those moments in football that build your identity and your personality and your love of the game, really. So yeah, we kind of do all things creative to do with football, and that sort of mostly then the products we actually sell are t-shirts and prints, so like wall art. But then actually in the last year, we've started to get into making kits and reworking and experimenting with old kits to sort of create new ways of wearing a football kit. So yeah, right now we've been going for 7 years. And we've grown from sort of just our family run business. And I think we've now got 12 or 13 full-time employees. And it's just feels like it's going from strength to strength, really. And the more we go on, we're sort of putting a lot of focus on building the range of like creative artists that we're getting on board.
Yeah.
So that's sort of given us a lot of flexibility and newer ways of approaching football, because there's a lot of people doing it now. So yeah, you know, you've always got to try and be as original as possible.
Yeah. Feels like the same journey as our podcast.
Yeah, and I can imagine.
We've had that question this week of how trying to do something originally, but like being aware of that without banging on about it. It's I sympathise there.
What's your niche then? What are you guys going for?
Well, it's a good time to sort of plug our changes, I guess, a little bit. Not to steal your spotlight after inviting you onto the podcast. But no, we're just trying to make it almost a solid interview format now with people that we find interesting, sort of moving away and departing from the football chat that's everywhere, and then just trying to sort of get some insight from people who have got real experience in whatever their sort of subsector of football is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, there's so much going on, isn't there, in the football world. Like, it's not just about what's happening on the pitch and footballers, you know, there's so many interesting stories and people out there, isn't there, that sort of committing their lives to it.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely.
And we're going to get every single one on the podcast.
Yeah.
That's the aim.
Yeah. So did you guys have like a background in creativity or design before you started Art of Football, or is it something you just sort of fell into?
Luke was
To be fair, so Gabe's the creative one. He studied art in sixth form and then went on to do film and set design at uni. and then I did biological sciences at uni, so nothing
all related. We're carrying him. Yeah. So I mean, we started it when I was in college, so kind of a background, but it was still sort of early days of that, and I've been learning sort of on the trade really. But Luke, actually, it's quite funny really, because, you know, I haven't come from a science background and probably not being the most creative person. He's chipped in with all sorts of ideas, and he definitely,
I've always been creative.
Good ideas can come from anywhere.
You know, a lot more worthwhile when you've got to this period and working together on that.
Well, we actually do it with we're one of five boys. So I've got four brothers, and everyone's involved in the business and our mum and dad. So it really is a family affair. Which kind of means, you really enjoy the highs together. And I guess when it, you know, times do get tough, I think when it's a family thing, you can probably get away with saying a lot more and demanding a lot more out of each other.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. There's no need for the sort of like office politics, is there, or anything like that. It's like, if you're not happy with something, it's probably a lot easier to say.
Oh yeah, definitely.
You can have a lot of arguments. No, you like, go, Luke.
And the negatives, like you say things you wouldn't normally say to someone, a colleague, and also you're able to, like, you have a much better understanding of each other, and so actually things are able to get across much easier. And like Gabe says, you probably demand more of each other than you normally would of someone else. And then
definitely.
As it's gone on, because we're all we're Forest fans, so we've got season ticket at Forest. It's like all the brothers and my dad meet up, and that's why everyone slowly joined, because it's like all we talk about at the pub. So they're like, we need to
want to get in on the conversation.
Honestly, happened one by one, and we've just completed the set.
Big effort. We're gonna try and get the rest of Cam and Elliot's family on to replace me. I reckon that's probably the next plan.
I've got five brothers as well.
I think looking at obviously what you guys have done and the way you've grown over the last few years has been mad, really. And I think, like, one of the things that a lot of people sort of think of when they think about football is Pickles the Bear. And I just sort of wanted to ask, like, with the sort of ideation behind that, and obviously it's something that really took off. So is it something you sort of planned for? Was it more of a, once it had happened and the traction started coming, it was like you almost couldn't believe what you were seeing?
Yes, so we came up with that one in preparation for the 2018 World Cup, and it was really about sort of creating a mascot for the brand, and one that sort of more represents the fans and trying to sort of tailor that to the fans from those certain teams. I can't, you know, it's hard to always remember like the certain point where you think of things like that. But I think the best thing about that for us is, so at that point I was the only artist, and it was pretty much Luke, I, and a friend who was doing the production. And so I can't draw, so a lot of my stuff is sort of with paint. So I couldn't do these bears, and we wanted to do it. So we were sort of set on finding someone that could draw the idea. I guess Luke can take over there, because that's when we sort of discovered Matt Bardi, who's our sort of wizard with the pencils.
So I met Matt's like he does a lot of the drawing that you see on our Instagram, and I'd met him a few months before. I was like buying some shoes and just got talking to him. He was like, spoke about art of football, and he's like, I'm an artist myself, I draw everything. He was in size, so it was like there was all artwork on the walls, and he's told me he'd done that. And I think then through someone else, I'd saw them mention him on their Instagram, so I was following him. Then Gabe messaged me about, I've got this idea, Pickles the Bear. And then I was like, I've got the guy. And I found the guy for it. So then, just sort of like went back into the shoe shop, spoke to him. He sort of got involved, and then it all snowballed from there. So then we had five designs first, just of five main international teams for the World Cup. And it was all, they were just like, it went crazy, really, really popular. So obviously from there, started then introducing team-specific ones. And then also then Matt joined the team. And yeah, so that like snowballed from there of building the collection of designs, but also that was the sort of start of fully employing someone else and starting sort of branching out like the styles. As I was saying, Gabe was the only artist before that.
We sort of had the idea of the bear wearing the kits and maybe, you know, Nike trousers or something like that. But actually Matt, who we've got on board, he's a skater boy. He knows absolutely nothing about football. We're trying to teach him bit by bit, but you know, it's really not his thing. So he kind of brought with it this sort of imagination, and that's really like, you know, took Pickles to the next level, because we just thought of putting it in the shirt, and like I say, a few items of clothing, but he was saying, get Sir Pickles, which was the first one, which was in the England 2002 shirt, and he was like, have him holding a can of Stella, you know, Siggy in the mouth. He's got like a Burberry bucket hat on. Yeah. Like, he was really, because he works in a shoe shop, you know, he was like, he needs to be wearing these shoes.
Yeah.
And I think that's actually what has made it so appealing and engaging with people, is that they can see these pieces of our items from like really recognizable parts of culture, and they can sort of see themselves in that or see. So that's why that when we put the suggestions out, everyone's asking for these specific details, and we can't take credit for that because that was all Matt. But that's why it's so good, is like getting these people in from different perspectives and different angles, and you know, is really raising our game.
Yeah.
I've saw Matt when he came to do the Artist of Residence thing at Copper, I think, and the speed at which that man draws is terrifying. It's like, I don't know how he has that skill, but I remember just watching, like, sort of pretending not to watch him, like leaning over his shoulder and seeing, he'd like just literally got this illustration done in about like 20 minutes, and I was just like, what on earth, how has he managed to do that?
We can't fill his time quick enough. Like, you give him projects for the week and he'll just zoom through them in like 2 days. Like, tried to plan it out for the week, and then it's like, right, what next? It's like, I've got no idea yet. And like the pencils are just smoking. Yeah. Real talent.
You started to touch on it there about football culture, and we've had quite a few discussions in previous podcasts about, you know, how embedded things like you guys are in football culture. And you know, you're staying relevant all the time with new ideas. I mean, maybe Matt is the answer, but how do you say you've kind of done this, and is it something you kind of set out at the start to think about doing? Like, obviously staying relevant is important, but how do you do it?
First and foremost, live and breathe it. You know, I'm a football romantic, a football obsessive. You know, it's all I know that, you know, you have other things in your life, but that is really like what I define myself in. So I guess I've had the right education in it. But then I guess it's just, we push ourselves to have new ideas. So we're constantly never, you know, we never bring out something and say, right, that's it, let's milk it for a few months. You know, as soon as we brought out one idea, we then were trying to figure out the next idea. And, you know, we've kind of got a back catalogue of things that we've never actually got round to doing. You know, it's kind of just constantly thinking, constantly throwing stuff at the wall and seeing if it sticks, basically.
And then I think Abe touched on it briefly before, but as we've grown, we've tried to not have and added more creatives. So far, all of them are in different fields. So it means we've got quite like a mixture of creative minds, but because one's a graphic designer, one's pencils, one's a videographer. So I think that also helps just keeping the ideas really fresh and mixed as well, because you're not always reliant on one person coming up with the designs, and they become all really similar.
Has there been a piece of work that's really stuck out for you, and you'd sort of, I mean, you could individually have different pieces of work that you think you prefer, but Is there one that sticks out for either of you as your favourite piece?
A few things. I think I'll do a bit of plugging at the moment.
Nice.
It's too many to think of.
The most recent thing is the scarf jumpers. So that's part of our latest rework collection, which is we've taken classic football scarves that we've sourced on eBay, and we've got our sweatshirts, and they're cut down the middle, and we're sewing in the scarves, so it sort of becomes a band. And I said that as soon as I saw them, I said, this is just insane. Like, I've never seen anything like this before. And it's taking something that all football fans, no matter where you are in the world, can relate to and you know, is a symbol of being a football fan. And it's just putting it in a completely new way, which is, you know, for me, that I'm really proud of. And any of the rework stuff that we do, it's all experimentation. So we're always trying to see what you can create out of these items that we all know and love. So I just love it, all of the things we do, even if they're not quite as successful. They're always new, and they're always, there's not the same pressure on them, because you're only making one or two specialty items. So, you know, I could list a lot of them that were all really excite me, but I'll probably bore you.
Yeah, I think one of my favourites, just because of the overall thing, was when we did the Notting Hill Carnival outfit for Adidas that was out of like the
the Arsenal way
last year. Yeah, that was just because it just looked really cool, and like we went and did a photo shoot. It looked amazing, but then also had the weight of Adidas behind it, so they did the press release, and then just all day refreshing your feed, and it was all these sort of brands and news outlets that, you know, you love and read every day, they were posting about it, and I was just that probably in my mind that day was just like, wow, this is crazy.
Yeah, I think even as a podcast of Tottenham fans, I remember when that came out and it was like, have you seen this? And it was like, it was just so nice. I think one thing I wanted to ask was, obviously you spoke about some of your like favourite work there, and one of the things that I really, really liked that you guys did was the NHS football shirts that you created for charity during the first lockdown. And I mean, there was a few things that went on. I think they got delayed, right? Because people got involved. So I don't know if you can talk about it, but if you can't talk about what happened, what sort of a little bit more on what that project was.
Yeah, I think I probably would have listed that as something I was most proud of if we hadn't gone through all the sort of knocking down steps that we've had with it. It sort of defeated our joy with it that we can take out of it. But so the NHS shirt was our first football shirt that we've made from scratch. And we did it as soon as we went into the first lockdown, and, you know, the whole mood of the country, and all the clapping and you know, everyone was banding together. And we thought, you know, we've got to make a shirt. We've got to make an England shirt for this, especially as all of our planning was going into the doing England stuff for the Euros at that time. And then within a couple of weeks, you know, it had gone out the window. So it was, our mentality was towards creating stuff for the Euros. Then we sort of changed that to do something to support the NHS. So that was, we based it off the Italia 90. Am I allowed to say any of this?
if you have a regret.
We based it off a shirt that is very popular from the 90s. that reminds, is sort of a similar colour to NHS scrubs. And we got it all going very quickly. It was sort of like, right, let's get this all made within a week, and let's try and get it out as quick as we can. Because we felt like the moment was right now. I'm looking at Luke's face. I don't know what.
So am I. That's what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
So we got it all ready, and we sort of brought that together, and then had it all ready to go out. We'd done all the promo. It was really going well, and everyone was loving it as we'd hoped. And we'd picked Meals for the NHS as our charities, which is a really nice charity that they were supporting local independent restaurants as well as NHS staff and workers by sort of grouping together and paying for meals from these restaurants that they would then take to staff to feed them during the long hours. So like we had a really good charity to work with. It was all set to go. The night before we were due to release, Luke got a phone call.
I got a call and there was just sort of stuff like oversight on our part of things being like too similar to other things.
Yeah.
Sure. So it was sort of, I had to just sort of delay the release and sort of go back to the drawing board, but we made all the shirts.
They're on their way.
So we had to come up with a new plan. Yeah, so I got like my girlfriend, my girlfriend's parents, our parents, everyone would just hand unpicking these badges from the shirts. Because we're like, we don't want to waste them. We need them just purely for charity. Like this is something we all believed in. We wanted to make it a success still. Yeah, so we spent like a month or 6 weeks all unstitching these badges.
600 shirts, yeah.
I guess that's when it's easier to be a family business, right? And get everyone involved in that.
Exactly.
And then reapplied a new badge that was like the clapping hands symbol. And then it was amazing, to be fair, the support, because obviously it got really delayed. And I think it's past like the clapping had stopped, et cetera. So we were worried that the moment might have passed, but we still got like amazing support from everyone and managed to sell them all and raised like a really, really good total for charities. And apart from the original charity that we were going for, that had stopped running because lockdown was over, I think.
Oh,
yeah. So then we were literally about to release it and realized this charity that we were donating to didn't exist anymore.
Oh no. That's.
And then we looked together and it's the NHS Charities Together, which is then just more of a, they then distribute the money to smaller charities within the NHS. So we went for them in the end. Yeah. So it was an ordeal, but it was worth it in the end.
I bought a shirt for Cam. I'm so disappointed he's not wearing it, to be honest.
Yeah. It's a bit cold in my flat. I haven't put the heating on yet, but I have definitely been whipping that out in the summer as well. Donning it, but it's a beaut for sure.
So, I mean, we've been talking about it sort of edging around the fringes, but I suppose there is that element again of culture and classic football kits and nostalgia and stuff like that you guys really tap into. What do you think it is about that kind of, I was going to say genre, it's not really the right word, but what do you think it is about football, like classic football shirts that gives people that kind of excitement and that energy and that passion?
I guess there's so much emotion and memory tied into each one. So, you know, you remember, if it is a shirt from when you were going to the football when you were younger, and you remember the players, which have such an important role. And then like there's the individual memories, but then also, you know, you wear your classic football shirts or you wear your football shirts throughout your life in all sorts of walks of life. You wear it on holidays, you wear it to the festivals, you wear it just to play in the garden. So there's just so much tied into that in terms of memory and nostalgia. And then I guess there's nothing quite like a classic football shirt, is there?
No.
Like the colours are just so wild. You know, no one's wearing a polo that's that bright with sort of, there's no other things really where you have such wild design. And even then there's just the sponsors, it's all just a big throwback, isn't it? And we all just live for it. We love it. We lap it up.
Mm. We also talked about the new projects, and you actually touched on the Euros before that was unfortunately cancelled and rescheduled. But what new projects are sort of almost upcoming or on the horizon for the rest of this year?
So as we've sort of developed, we dipped our toe in like making these new garments, and we've been making a lot of the rework stuff, which is different items we wouldn't normally do. So this year is our first year we're going to actually implement like split the year into thirds and have a theme for each third, and then be producing garments and designs all based around that theme. So the first theme that will be coming out in March is AOF Electronics, which Gabe will do a better description of what it's all about. But that's the first one coming up. And then obviously the Euros is we've got some like really exciting stuff for that. So I'm hoping in some surely it's got to go ahead in some sort of capacity.
Yeah, in some form, surely. Yeah.
I'm holding on to my tickets for dear life. Those Wembley tickets.
You might have to reapply.
We'll see what happens there.
They're saying you might have to reapply.
No, I've paid. I'm done. I'll be there, even if they're not letting me in.
Have you got tickets to the England-Scotland game?
I do, yeah. I've got two Wembley games, and I am, yeah, I'm just holding on to them for dear life. Yeah. Hopefully it all comes together.
I was thinking about that today, like, how many times... It doesn't come round often, does it, that we get games in England for a major tournament? You know, not in my lifetime. Well, I think I was two in 1996. You know, it's finally back, kind of, in some form, and it's just our luck as English fans, isn't it?
Yeah, there was loads of rumours that it was going to be, like, recently, they were saying, obviously, because it's meant to be in, like, 13 countries or whatever, that they were going to do, because obviously, like, with the UK, with, like, how the vaccine stuff are going, it's like, we're going to be the most equipped to hold the whole thing, and, like, we've got the stadiums ready, the infrastructure's there to host the whole tournament. And it's like, could you imagine a whole Euros being in the UK and we're not allowed to go to any of the games or, like, properly go out? And it's just happening. Like, you live at, like, however far from Wembley or whatever stadium's closest to you, you know there's a brilliant game of international football going on and you can't go. It would just be, like, it would just be so cruel, won't it? It would be horrible.
They can't do that to us. They can't.
I'd love to see what some of the diehards would do, though, if that was the case. Like some of the Barmy Army and those people that follow everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
You'd have, like, the drums going on in a blimp above the ground.
They would do anything, yeah. did you want to come back to the projects that you guys have got on the horizon?
Yes. So our first collection, like Luke says, is AOF Electronics. And that's sort of a loose theme really. So... sort of touched on the sort of electricity within football. So that's where that's the feeling you get. So on like a Champions League night, the atmosphere, the electricity, or those star players, you know, the jolt of excitement you get when you open a shiny or various things like that. But then then we're bringing it back to electronic sponsors as well, because the sort of, you know, FIFA and Sony and Panasonic and all these things, you know, that's something that's sort of ingrained in the nostalgic football and all our football memories, really. So, you know, we're going to have designs for that, but we're also going to we think we're going to have two football shirts sort of related to sort of electricity within football. And that'll be our first collection release that has items that aren't just T-shirt, like printed T-shirts. So that's coming in March. And then for the summer, we have the Euros, like Luke said. So we're basing it off artists from European countries. So we're going to do lots of stuff on Dali for Spain, Michelangelo for Italy, Banksy for England, Matisse for France. Where are we at? Gerard Richter for Germany.
Is that one?
And Van Gogh for Holland. So... That's an exclusive. That's the first we've spoken of that.
But yeah,
we're hoping to. Well, should we say it? Luke's the marketing guy. I'm just the design guy, so I get excited and want to talk about it. But
I'm just gonna keep asking Gabe those questions. Yeah. Give us everything.
If we pull off what we're gonna do, it'll be amazing. We'll tell you guys what it actually is, but like we'll leave out what it's gonna be.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, we're kind of like the NHS shirt, but we're basically picking six kits and we're remaking them inspired by the artists. So, for example, we've taken the Holland 88 shirt that everyone knows and loves, and we've kind of combined it with A Starry Night by Van Gogh. So it's kind of like that pattern that starts to swirl and it's all hand painted. And like Matisse is France 98, but it's like all kind of like cut out of shapes and in Matisse styles. So
yeah.
Hoping, I mean, we're very tight on deadlines already with that, but we're hoping that can come out, and we're sort of then going to build everything around that.
I'm going to put the... Great. Do you remember Big Brother where they put the bird noises over talking when they didn't want to give stuff away? I'll put that over that bit.
I think one thing, like, obviously we're talking about what you guys have got coming up, and I think, like, obviously outwards facing, you've had, like, quite a big rebrand over the last year. I just thought, sort of wanted to ask a bit more about that, sort of what inspired it and sort of what your plans are and what your hopes are, I guess, with that rebrand, what you hope sort of comes of it moving forwards.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess the rebrand was really necessary because we've changed so much over 7 years as a company. You know, when we started out, I was just in college, and it was kind of just about selling my own artwork, really. But what we're trying to build is so much more than that, really. You know, we're really determined, and we want to kind of build a brand and a community that is so much more about what we just put out. Like, it's so much more than just our artwork. It's kind of like the relationships we're trying to build with people, and hopefully, like, people can build through us. So the rebrand was kind of, we sort of sat down and talked through and reflected on what we thought we were all about. So, like, it was sort of the first time we'd really properly done that since the beginning, I would say. And we did that as a team, and I guess that was the main thing to come from it, was that we are a team, and that's sort of the culture we want to create, is that you know, a crowd is made up of lots of individuals, you know, that all have their own interests, all have their own lives. You know, they've built their own identity through football, and they make up a crowd, but everyone is different. But so it's sort of, we're getting arty farty here, it's all about identity, really, and the fact that I'm looking why we get into football, and I think it's all about wanting to belong, you know, feeling part of the crowd, part of a journey, part of the story of your team. So that feeling of belonging, but then also wanting to be seen as a unique person within that community. So the rebrand is about showing that that's what we're about. We're about the individuals, and we're about the bonds that bring the individuals together. So we came up with a spunky new logo, which is slightly different from ours. Before, it was just a signature of AOF, which sort of kind of resembled the time when it was my own artwork and it was, you know, signing off your work, whereas it's sort of a stamp now, and it's AOF within brackets, and sort of the brackets are kind of meant to resemble that, you know, we are a community and we're housing all things football in between those brackets. That's what AOF is. It's everything that happens within football, on and off the pitch. And then it also kind of lines up as, the quirk is, it also lines up kind of like a pitch. So you got the circle.
Yeah. I was going to say, my mind is that, like, I'm obviously not an arty guy, because that's what I thought. I was like, I thought it's because it looked like a pitch.
Yeah, it runs both ways. I think the pitch part came first. and then the
reasoning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Post-rationalisation, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, it looks really cool. I mean, I follow you guys on Instagram, so I'm constantly looking at your stories and stuff. It does look great. I suppose going to the heartland of what you guys are about, what's the most, like, popular stuff that you guys sell on your website?
The classics is always really, really popular. I think it's like we touched on all the reasons for why nostalgic classic kits are so good, because they sort of document 9 of the best kits that are either related to trophies won, memorable moments, memorable players, or just, you know, classic kits that people remember opening at Christmas, etc.
Yeah.
So they're always really popular. And I think then, particularly like around Christmas, then it goes crazy, because I think we're quite different for football fans. Like, everyone knows a football fan, so then at times for gifting, it's like it becomes really, really popular. It's something a bit different. And then what else is it? Sort of all the rework stuff we've started doing, because it's like really limited numbers, that's like built its own sort of hype, because it's if you don't go for it when it's released, they sell out.
Yeah,
they've been really popular as well.
Yeah, I got one of the Nigeria pocket jumpers.
Yeah,
hey. I got one for, yeah, managed to get it on the limited, but it's still wrapped up in the corner because it was a present, and obviously there was no Christmas, so the temptation to just open it and keep it for myself is very high.
So at this rate, we're going to get Elliot doing a catwalk at the end of the podcast. Well, that's all his art. Well, football
product. Look, I inadvertently didn't even realise, but I'm wearing my Pingu with a Stone Island hat and the England kit on.
Proper fanboy.
Yeah, flashing.
Lucky when I did this in person, because he'd definitely get you to sign.
It's weird, because that's something that I really love, is seeing people that have bought it, because you know, it's all online, and it's always been online, and so you know it's just numbers on a screen, really. Mm. And very rarely, I mean, I must have seen 3 or 4 people in 7 years wearing it, and when it happens, it is just such a thrill, really.
Yeah.
It happened actually at the Euro 2016. I was in Paris in the fan zone, and I spotted someone. Like through the, I think were you there as well? Luke?
I was there with my friends. So I'd gone with my friends. Gabe gone with his friends. So we went to this fan zone in Paris. So like, I bumped into someone wearing one of our t-shirts. I was like, oh my god, this is crazy. Then I bumped into Gabe and was like, you need to come find this guy. He's wearing one of our t-shirts.
I think it must have been a bit weird for him, because it was England Wales, and it was like a mud bath because it had been raining, and just all like the English lads were sliding around on their tummies when we scored. And then they were like, so because we were kind of at the front, they're all hugging everyone. So you got like hugged by all these muddy guys. And then Luke texts me, say like, you got to come see this guy. And I come out the crowd, I'm just covered in mud, like, you know, worse for wear. And he's sort of stood at the back, like a middle-aged guy. And it was probably a bit awkward for him, really.
Did he at least? Did he at least speak English?
Yeah.
Like, je ne sais pas?
No. It would have been a good idea for him to do that, probably.
we were talking before, and we were wondering about your, you know, you've collaborated in the past, but if there'd be one brand, club, player that you could collaborate with, create something bespoke, who do you think that would be? And would it be Nottingham Forest?
we work with Forest a bit. For like 2 year seasons, we produced the covers for their match day programs, which was really cool. That really, like, we didn't actually have that big a following in Nottingham. And then from that, because like every week it was, everyone would see our artwork. That was amazing work at the club. I just wish that, like, I would say, imagine if we get promoted and the year we're like doing the program covers, but unfortunately, yeah, it didn't happen. But I don't know, Gabe always says, like, get me in a room with David Beckham and we'll make it. If we can do something with Beckham.
I haven't said that in years.
I think that's pretty bang on, though. Yeah. Go through Adidas, make sure you get that connection.
I think you've got to get through about 30 of David Beckham's team to get to him. I think, like, you can't get close to him. I've always wanted to do something with Cantona, like, as he...
Oh, really?
Like, I just think he's such a character, and, like, you know, all the sort of adverts and whatever you see him in over the years, he really, like, he goes all out for them, doesn't he? Like, there was a Eurosport one where he was campaigning to be England manager, and he's just wild, isn't he? And I keep thinking about making a, like, kung fu outfit out of that shirt that he did the kung fu, because it's a black shirt, so you could make like a button down kung fu shirt and trousers, sort of like get some embroidery going on it, like yellow embroidery.
I can already picture him wearing it. I can already see
get him in it and like give him a glass of red wine and just take photos of him, and I just think it would be so good.
Well, we'll see what we can do. We'll get in contact with our people and see if we can get him. So it's everyone's favourite game, and this week our sponsor is Match of the Day commentator John Roder, and it's
very much against the run of play.
He doesn't actually endorse this message. We don't want to get into trouble.
Yeah. Okay. So no, ask for forgiveness. Remember, we're taking that.
Oh, yeah,
from,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Taking that from
thanks,
these guys.
Thanks, John Roder.
Yeah. So for each guest we get on the show, we basically just have a quick fire question round, and you say the first answer that comes into your head out of a possible two answers. It's nice and easy, don't worry. But as there's two of you this week, there's a slight competitive element to it. So look, you'll go first, then Gabe, and then you'll basically just have to either agree or debate with each other. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. I'm really proud of myself for this first one.
You giving me two options?
Yeah, two options and then you answer. That's it. Okay. So the first question is Pickles or Paddington?
Pickles.
Premier League or Champions League?
Premier League.
Yep. From a Forest fan, of course. Yeah. Messi or Ronaldo?
Not allowed to answer that.
Ronaldo.
Nike or Adidas?
Nike.
Ooh, controversial.
I hope they're not listening.
Yeah. Lampard or Gerrard?
Gerrard.
Okay. A 40-yard screamer or a tiki-taka team goal?
Screamer.
All day long. If you were a manager, would you be a suit manager or a tracksuit manager?
You'd be suit manager.
Yeah, probably a reworked retro shirt manager. In the touch shirt.
And finally, a last minute winner or a 5-0 thrashing?
Last minute winner, gotta be.
Yeah, has to be every time. Cool, that's the first round in the bag.
Nike and Adidas, they're level-ish, but then I read...
We love them both, dearly.
Yeah.
The Shoe Dog book. I proper love that, and like it makes you think we could build that with reading that, you know, we can build something like that with art football in 40 years time, 50 years time, like who's to say you couldn't be the next Nike. I just thought that I really enjoyed that book, so that's at the minute I'm enjoying Nike.
We need to do book suggestions by guests and have them publish. But yeah I endorse that message as well. It's a great book. Yeah, let's do it, Gabe. And you can argue if you've got any. I'm sure you've already heard that and thought I'm gonna debate on a couple of those. But firstly, Pickles or Paddington?
Pickles.
Premier League or Champions League?
Champions League.
And now, why over Premier League?
Like you said, as Forest fans, I don't think I've seen us. I've never seen us in the Champions League, and I guess it wasn't the Champions League, but we've got such a big history with it. And we've always been in the lower leagues. As a neutral looking at the Champions League, that's what is really exciting, is seeing these massive clashes that always feel quite rare, even though they're every year.
Premier League every week, so it's like proper ingrained in your day-to-day life is what's going on
every day right now as well. Literally can't move for it.
That's the effect of my answer, because it just feels non-stop at the moment. I need a break. I want Champions League.
That's a good point. Messi or Ronaldo?
Messi. I'm a football purist. I like the
creative goes for Messi, and
I mean, like, Ronaldo's hard work, you've got to appreciate that.
We appreciate both of them. We appreciate them while they're here. Do that soppy. Nike or Adidas, or equal?
Say if you both say either, then you've covered yourselves.
I also read that. We both read that book. It's all gone around our family. I guess Adidas. I'll go with that. Adidas. The Forest European Cup winning kit, Adidas, with that Adidas Originals logo. Just unbelievable.
80s Adidas. Beautiful. Lampard or Gerrard?
Gerrard. Lampard was at Derby.
That's
I wonder why that was so quick.
I actually feel like people think he's now worse of a player just because of the managerial record that he's had at Chelsea. I feel like his stock is actually reducing because of his managing. 40-yard screamer or tiki-taka team goal?
Screamer.
Suit or tracksuit manager on the touchline?
I reckon I'm the Tony Pulis.
Yeah.
Like the club shop.
And last minute winner or 5-0 thrashing?
last minute winner.
Yeah.
That is why you go to the football, is in the hope that there is that feeling of a last minute winner.
And you can't replicate it. You really can't. In anything.
You can't, and it always, the build up is also like the other half of football, is just that like pain and anguish and suspense that you just suffer for 70, 80 minutes that you know, you don't get that feeling of ecstasy without that horrible rest of it.
So true.
I'm very much speaking as a Forest fan as well. Like, we don't seem to thrash many teams.
Well, yeah. that is the Against the Run of Play round. Thank you very much for playing, and thank you for coming on. It's been super interesting to talk through Art Football, obviously following the company and the journey as we all have, and seeing what you have become, and hopefully, yeah, as you say, 40, 50 years, why not? The new Nike. We'll keep an eye on it from there.
Looking forward to those new things that we're not allowed to talk about coming out. Definitely put me down for one of those.
Thank you for having us. It's our first podcast, actually.
We're honoured to be the first.
No, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah.
Cheers, guys.
It's been great. Thanks so much.
Cheers,
and,
guys.
And yeah, enjoy the rest of your week.
Cheers. See you later.
Thanks for listening to episode 16 of the Run of Play podcast with our guests, Luke and Gabe. It was awesome to chat about the beginning and the future of Art of Football, and thanks again to them for coming on. Please do subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and please drop us a rating on whichever platform you prefer. It really, really helps. You can also follow us on @runofplaypod on Twitter and Instagram for more content, and to also stay informed when a new episode drops. Run of Play will be back very soon with another expert guest, so we'll see you next time.